It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
On second and three, the fake to Barber, Fitzpatrick to O.J. Howard for a Buccaneers score.
Fitzmagic on the call, or on the pass. Who's on the call, Chrissy? Where's that credit go to? Fox. Credit to Fox on the call. Ryan Fitzpatrick dropping dimes out there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Fitzpatrick was calling the games and
yeah,
throwing
he's
the
very,
passes.
Very, very multi-talented.
Well, he's a Harvard guy.
Yeah.
Harvard guy, so you know.
Smart ass. All right, speaking of people who are multi-talented, bringing on the show right now, 12-year NFL veteran, former tight end for the Jets, the Bucs, the Rams. God bless. Current college football analyst, and he's going to be on the call. ESPN2, Minnesota and Purdue, Anthony Becht. And Anthony has already touched down in Minnesota. Oh, you poor, poor soul. I feel so, so badly for you. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes, Anthony. How you doing?
You got it. Yeah, you know, coming from Tampa, you know, I got one jacket, so I got a lot of layers on. And I just to help you out, that was Gene Deckerhoff on the call there.
Oh,
for
look
the
at that.
Here, so. You know, you guys, like, you're way out west. It's tough to keep track of all these announcers, I'm sure.
West, south, north, or east, it's tough for me anyway, Anthony. I have no idea why they even have me here. I really don't.
No, but Anthony, you joked about the weather. I'm going to be very selfish. How is it? Because I have to go to Edmonton and Calgary next weekend. Am I going to freeze to death?
Yeah, it's supposed to be about 20 degrees. There's some flurries and snow on the ground. But there's a little bit of a wind. So, man, it hits your face, and it just kind of – it seeps through your skin, man. It's rough. But, you know, I'll be in the booth, so I'll be more worried about – and I like to rag on our sideline because Rocky Boyman, a former NFL player, he's our field analyst. And every time we're – last week we're in a monsoon in Miami, Duke. It was pouring rain, and then this week he's got the cold, so I like to put it on him a little bit during the game.
You got to get Rocky one of those Booger McFarland kind of like cranes so he can just kind of hover and loom over the sideline.
I'm waiting for weather now. What happens when it's like pouring? I mean, is that thing like become a problem when, you know, water hits it, or he's got his cards and his papers on there and everything? I mean, is that going to be like a pop-up tent that's going to go over?
I feel like it's a problem right now, even without the weather. I don't know if the weather has anything to do with it, but point taken.
Yeah, I work for ESPN, but I didn't have anything to do with that.
There you go. What are we watching for in Purdue, Minnesota?
Well, you know, listen, Purdue is a team that, listen, you're in Indiana, and it's tough to get, you know, really good explosive players. And personally, I think that they have one of the more explosive freshmen, upcoming rising stars in college football, Rondale Moore. You guys obviously saw him against Ohio State on the national scene. He basically ran circles around every one of these defenders for the Ohio State Buckeyes a couple weeks ago. You know, Jeff Brom's done a nice job with this football team. He's a hot guy right now. You know, he just got the job a couple years ago at Purdue, but you know, he keeps winning games and pulling recruits similar to a Rondale Moore to go to a place like Purdue. That's very intriguing for teams. But right now, he's all in on Purdue, and you know, they got a quarterback that's played a lot of ball. He's second in the Big Ten in yards and completion percentage. So this is a team that can put up points really quickly. Now, Minnesota on the flip end, the big time name that they got was PJ Fleck as their head coach. Completely different operation. This is a team that is playing a ton of freshmen, redshirt freshmen, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and they're basically trying to do it from recruiting and the ground up instead of trying to fill some of those gaps with graduate seniors and JUCO guys. Talked to Fleck today. He's all about building from the roots and starting that foundation, and then in 3 years, 4 years, that's when they start competing at the level that they feel they can. So he says this is a job that he wanted because it was a challenge, and there's no question, you know, Minnesota in the Big Ten and a team like Purdue, these are two jobs that, you know, if you can win some games and beat some of those big players, you know, that can be huge for you. So Purdue's doing it slightly right now, but Minnesota's still waiting for that signature win.
Hey, as we talk about Purdue, Anthony, let's stick in the state of Indiana. I saw you share an article about the injury to Ian Book, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Obviously, they got a a favorable matchup against Florida State, but I kind of want to get your thoughts. Is there any room for concern that they may let off the gas? And what's your level of concern in terms of Ian Book going forward as Notre Dame tries to make its way through this playoff?
Yeah, you know, that's good to know because I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, you know, they don't feel good enough to play them right now, and it's a very tough stretch for them. I mean, you know, Syracuse coming up, that's going to be a big game, and he's going to be at his best mobility-wise because, you know, Syracuse is very good at the defensive line position. I had them against NC State a couple weeks ago, and I came off very impressed the way Syracuse plays football. You know, listen, I think Wimbush is a guy right now that can probably get the job done. You know, Florida State coming to South Bend, you know, with the weather, if it's really cold, this team's, you know, been losing games. It's not, you know, favorable for a bunch of Florida kids to come up in the cold air. So I'm sure they're begging for, you know, 15-degree weather, as cold as it can possibly be, so they can kind of, you know, play their style of football. But, you know, listen, Ian Book's been a completely different quarterback since he's taken over compared to Wimbush. He sees the field better. He's been one of the best passers. I think he's thrown at a 75% completion clip. So he's been on it, man. He's been really the jolt this team has needed. So Wimbush, to me, I wouldn't ask him to do much. I mean, from a passing standpoint, especially the fact that he hasn't done much here in the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, I would expect him to use a lot of his legs, play it safe, and you know, hopefully they feel like they're good enough on offense and defense where they don't have to put up a ton of points and just play sound football and get out of there with a win.
Talking about that game with playoff implications, can you talk me out of my misery a little bit in that I'm a Michigan fan. I'm from Ann Arbor. I'm having fun with the season, but at the same time, I'm like, what's the point? There's no way they're beating Alabama.
Well, yeah, you know, it's tough because Alabama is just so strong, and I took the time to watch, actually, Michigan, their film of their last game, and Alabama as well on the plane ride to Minnesota. And, you know, really it was such a good matchup to go against LSU for Bama because they got the kind of corners that you need, the DBs, to play a team like that because you have to play man-to-man tight coverage. You cannot give them any space because Tua is such a good quarterback and he'll take advantage of all that space that you leave open. If the slot receiver is getting covered by a safety in space, he's going to hit that guy and they got an advantage. If you're tight and the nickel guy's there, it makes it a little harder. Now, he can make those tight window throws, but you know, you've got to be able to play that man-to-man so you can get as many guys in those zones and then attack him and get disruption on him. I mean, LSU dropped two interceptions along with the one that they had in that football game. You cannot do those things if you're trying to beat Alabama. So as you're talking there and you're thinking, okay, can Michigan do this? I'll tell you what, now, I came off really impressed by Michigan's defense. I mean, Gary and Winovich, those guys are legit fast, aggressive, high motor guys that are just creating havoc on the edges. And that's going to be, you know, you need those kind of things. It's going to come down to the secondary play, how aggressive you can be, how much space can you take up, because look, those receivers for Bama are fast, quick, they can get out of their routes, and Tua will make you pay with any inch you give him. So it's got to be a perfect game, but it can be done. I truly believe that. You know, I think Clemson's the closest. You know, I look at a team like Georgia. They have the secondary that can match up, but they're not as good as they were up front as they were last year to really cause those problems because Alabama can run the hell out of the ball too. So, you know, they just got so much going on, and their defensive line might be better than they were last year. Watching those guys, I mean, they just bring them in. Next guys roll in, man, and they're just better. So you're right. It is a cause for concern, but you're not the only team sitting there thinking the same thing. So.
Can hear all these great insights from Anthony Becht on the Purdue-Minnesota game, ESPN2, tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, very well known for his NFL playing career, 12 years as a tight end, including with the Bucs and the Jets. And I know you still you know, pay attention to those teams very closely. I did want to get into the Bucs a little bit. The quarterback situation is so interesting to me in that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was great, but we know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. We've seen it time and time again. Great game, good game, bad game, and then real bad game. And then, you know, you see the cycle. He's back at it now as quarterback. Is this the right decision going forward to go with him? Because my thought would be Jameis Winston is either going to be the quarterback or you're done with him. So if you're playing Fitzpatrick now, or have they made the decision they're done with Jameis?
Well, I think for this year, for sure. You know, listen, this is the best assembly of weapons that Fitzpatrick's ever had to play with, you know, in his career. And if you're a formidable quarterback that can get some time, you should be able to slice up defenses with the type of weapons that the Buccaneers have on offense. And that's where the most disappointing part about this is that, you know, the team, Jason Light, general manager, have put in so many resources to build around Jameis, to give him the weapons. They got, you know, they struck gold on their offensive draft, on the offensive line, when they got Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet. They both have started every single game since they've been drafted as rookies the same year Jameis came in. So all those things kind of lined up. And then, you know, Jameis obviously didn't help himself with the suspension early in the season, and he's notoriously been known for not starting the seasons very quickly. And that tagged along with when he came back, he's just completely just turned up, I think, 10 interceptions, guys, and four games. I mean, it's just it's great, and you feel bad for the kid because he is the first one in the building. He is the hardest worker on the team. He's the guy that, you know, he wants to get it. He wants to be right, but eventually – you know, I play with these guys that have, you know, they do everything you ask them to do, but it just doesn't click. They have these walls. I mean, he's just right now he's in a funk and he's kind of playing with blinders on and he's not quite seeing the field the way he should be. And Fitzpatrick comes in from, you know, after eating a hot dog on the sidelines and starts dishing out, you know, big plays all over the place in the Bengals game and has the game tied up, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter. So it's been disappointing, and they have a huge decision to make after this season is done because, you know, do you want to pay someone their fifth year $20+ million and you don't have that maximum trust, or do you just, you know, do you blow the whole thing up? And if you do that may bring bad things to the head coach as well. I mean, then they might just do everything. So they have to finish strong. I think when they felt like they moved to Fitzpatrick, they felt like they were still in it. And then now losing this game last week against the Panthers, just not having a great showing. And, you know, defense has been an issue too, guy. We haven't even got into that. I mean, just the back end has been so young and just so many mistakes week in and week out. It just not has matched up for them the way they would have liked to this season.
How are the hot dogs at Raymond James Stadium?
They're fantastic. And I'll tell you, you know, it's nice for me. Doing the pre- and post-game now for all the Jets home games, I was the pre- and post-game full-time for the Buccaneers. I only do in-house film session breakdowns for them in the local Tampa Bay market. I'm off now eight of the weeks during the season since I'm only home games for the Jets. So when I come back, I either go to the Bucs game if they have a home game, or, you know, we're hanging out watching games. So I'm down. I'm all in those hot dogs and beers and whatever they got to offer at the stadium, for yeah, sure. They are good.
I've never got to sample that. Full disclosure, when I go to games in Tampa, I'm always very quick to get out of there and go to the establishments right down the street. So, you know.
Yeah, those are abundant. There's no question about it. I mean, you know, listen, you know, every city has them. You know, I can't imagine that your city lacks any of those destinations as well.
No,
so.
No, that is true.
We're good with those.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about the quarterback situation in Tampa. How about with the Jets? I mean, you know, Sam Darnold, youngster, he's developing. You know, not, you know, this week there's you know, the injury, so we'll see what goes on there.
Right.
But where is he in his progress?
You know, I tell you, you know, every week when I see him live and I go back and I watch the film, I really do see he's getting better at a lot of different things. Not only just on how he's, you know, what he's doing, you know, from the quarterback position, but what he's able to grasp week to week with some adversities and bouncing back and the situations that he's in. I will say this, the last week against the Dolphins was probably his worst game he's played. Now, his offensive line played their worst game as well, so, you know, that doesn't help when you have a rookie quarterback, you know, when you're leaning on your offensive line to produce, make holes, and stop pass rush, and they couldn't do that against the pass rush of the Dolphins. The center, Spencer Long, had a terrible game as well, snapping the ball. So you can't even get the ball back to the quarterback, and that's a problem as well. So, you know, look, he had four interceptions in the game. You know, we all see these quarterbacks, these young guys, have these moments throughout their career, even some of the best when they're later in their careers have those kind of games. But two of those interceptions on the back end, I wouldn't really count. But they did drop two additional interceptions early on in the game. So he truly did have four in the game. So, you know, he's a little bit, you know, with the pressure and everything that was coming in his face, he was very quick on trying to get the ball out of his hands, wasn't quite feeling his progressions. Those were all the things that he had been doing well so far up to that point. So, you know, he did get injured. I will say this, they could use this as a positive for him because it gets a chance for him to step back maybe a week. They have a bye week next week, where he can watch Josh go, kind of watch the operation. You know, he got a nice gamut of games in here, first 8 weeks for himself, and now he can kind of, you know, settle in, assess himself. They can assess him, and then hopefully get a strong finish on the back end. But, you know, I really think he's done some really good things, and the future is bright. The organization has to continue to build around him, and that's going to be the biggest key moving forward.
You mentioned the positive. I guess the negative is that they could actually win, and then that sets them back in the draft position.
Well, you know what? That's a big infamous with different teams that, you know, they're trying to get players. But you know what? That doesn't matter to me now because you got a quarterback. It's so hit or miss in the first round. I mean, we can sit here and I can reel off 15 guys that we all think that should go in the top 15 picks. But let's be real, a lot of the players you find, you can get them in any round. So you want to hit on those guys, but you're going to be able to find, when you don't have the pressures of worrying about finding a quarterback, that does really open up a lot for you. And you get to see more guys, study more guys, instead of breaking down the six or seven quarterbacks that are coming out every year, you're good to go there. So I think, you know, in general, that doesn't really affect them. So for me, win as many games as you can. And if you can't win them and the quarterback can't get them done or you're close games, it's all right. Wherever you settle in the draft will be fine because there's talent everywhere. You get paid a lot of money to find them, and they're not all in the top 15 or 10 picks. They're out there throughout the college football. You just got to do your job and find them.
Anthony, we appreciate a couple minutes, man. You stay warm up there. We do not envy you.
Yeah, no, I got the heater cranked up to 80 in the hotel room, which is very rare. People would never do that, but I am. If you don't see me on TV, I may have dehydrated inside my hotel room, so hopefully it's good to go.
There you go. Anthony Becht, 12-year NFL vet. You can hear him on the call. ESPN2, Purdue in Minnesota, 3:30 p.m.